I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, 'Can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her upright. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Welcome back, everyone. WIBG 398 10 Joy, the Welcome Home Show. My name is Joe Griffey's here with my partners, Bill Davenport, Marine, Vietnam veteran, Ralph Galati, prisoner of war, Air Force veteran, and we have Lori Hewitt. Lori, are you with us?
I am here.
How you doing? Where are you at now, ma'am?
We are based out of Wixom, Michigan.
You're out in Michigan. Listen, I don't know if you ever heard that song before, "Ragged Old Flag" by Johnny Cash, but isn't there a good chance if it's a ragged old flag on top of that, it must be a ragged old flagpole with it?
A lot of times that is the case.
And you are the director of operations for flagpoles, etc.
Correct.
What do you do, ma'am? What is your job?
I kind of oversee.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Let me rephrase that.
Okay.
You travel 15 minutes outside of your company in Michigan, somebody needs a flagpole, you'll put a flagpole up in the ground or you know, isn't it pretty routine? Everybody can put a flagpole wherever they want it. What makes you so special, Laurie?
Well, there are some different, you know, if you live in an HOA, sometimes they have different cities and towns have different, you know, restrictions, but we work with residential customers, we work with commercial customers, we work with government agencies. We install anything from a 15-foot telescoping flagpole to a 200-foot colossal flagpole. We travel all over the United States to give people what they want.
Okay, now I'm the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and I got a 90-story building in Chicago, and I want to put a flagpole on the roof. Do I call you?
You sure can.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute, Laura. You got to be a little more, explain it a little bit better. I need the flagpole put on top of a 90-story building. You can't carry that flagpole up 90 flights of steps. How do you get that flagpole to the roof?
We can't, but we've done rooftop. We do rooftop installations. We did one, we used a helicopter.
I know that. I'm just joking with you. I think it's fantastic. Bill, doesn't everybody who puts a flagpole in the ground have a contact for a helicopter? What do you think, Ralph?
You mean they don't? Come on. They could have one of those big construction cranes as well.
Yeah. So they call your office in Michigan, and they might be in Florida. They could be in Alaska.
Correct. They call us, and we go all over the United States. So that's where we're kind of unique, that we don't use any subcontractors. We send our guys. So we send them to Florida. We send them to California. We send them to Minnesota. We send them to Maine. We take the poles. And wherever you want, we'll install them for you.
Now, I see flags flying, Bill and Ralph. We see them all over the place, especially in Philadelphia. They're flying on top of 40, 50-story buildings. Do they make extra sturdy flags that are flying that high where the wind's a little bit rougher than down on the ground?
And there are two. There's you can get a nylon flag, or you can get a heavy-duty polyester flag. They're both good. The biggest thing about flags, we tell people, Buy U.S.-made flags.
Of course.
That's the biggest difference. You can get them super cheap. You can go online and find lots of flags that you're going to get super cheap, and they're going to rip. The U.S. flags, obviously made in the United States, are the best flags that you can buy. You take them down when you know a big storm's coming. Just take them down for the day. That's gonna have the biggest impact on your flag life.
So Ralph Galati is calling you and saying, I have a building that's 70 stories in downtown Philadelphia. I want to put a flagpole on the roof. Do you recommend a certain size flag that will look right? It won't look like a postage stamp flying up that high?
We do. We look at your area. We look at, you know, we tell people what kind of statement do you want to make. When you're putting these custom flagpoles, you know, if you're on top of a roof or on buildings, we check the wind speed, and we pull up the wind speed in your area for the last 10 years, and we give you the pole that's going to withstand your particular area.
Yeah, cool. That's pretty good science, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to, when, you know, somebody from Ohio, even a residential pole, somebody from Ohio calls us, we're going to give them a different size flagpole than we do somebody that lives on Daytona Beach. You know,
that's something a homeowner wouldn't think about, though, which is what you think about.
I mean,
we don't know what we don't know, right?
Right. And we, you know, we'll sell anybody what they want, but we'll be very clear that, you know, if you put in this 15-foot telescoping pole and you're, you know, on the coast, it's not going to last long. So, and we show them, we have calculations that we show them, the wind speeds, and so, you know, that they know we're just not trying to sell them any pole. We want, once we install it, we want it to last.
Lori, this is Bill. Who designs the base, and who installs that? Do you also install the base and design it?
We do. We do everything from start to finish. There's standard foundations that we use. And if it's a business that needs, you know, stamp field engineering, we provide that. We can pretty much do anything. When we come, we dig the hole, we tip the flagpole in, and when we leave, you've got your beautiful pole from start to finish.
Could you give us a very unique location you may have installed at?
He did do a pole on top of the WWE building headquarters.
It's down in North Carolina, is it?
That is not North Carolina. No. I want to say, you know what, now that you ask, like, it's slipping my mind.
Yeah.
But we do on the side of buildings. We do, you know, well, pretty much as long as we can anchor it safe, and, you know, we'll put them anywhere. We get a lot of different requests for different locations.
Listen, before we forget, and Bill and Ralph can chime in whenever they want, give a number where people can call you.
Our number is 888-735-5591. And we do have a website. It's just www.flagpolesetc.com.
Is there a wait time? I guess it all depends on where the flag's going, correct?
Well, it's the bigger wait time is, of course, this year with America's 250, we are having a busy year. We have a lot of poles in stock, so it's always best to just call us and we can check. And, you know, there's a lot of different sizes of poles. There's different colors of poles. We do the big colossal poles. We manufacture those in-house, the steel poles. You can pick from 200 colors. We actually just did one here in Michigan for the restaurant, Culver's Restaurant, and we painted it the Culver's blue, which was really cool.
Lori, I put a flagpole up on my 100-story building in New York, and it's been flying for 3 or 4 years. Can I get a service contract that you come out every so often and check that pole to see if it's getting loose or needs maintenance? Because I don't want the damn thing falling off the roof and landing and hitting somebody coming out of Macy's on Fifth Avenue.
Yes. So yeah, we do service checks all the time. And we tell people it's better, especially this time of year, it's better to check it. For residential poles, we tell people, you know what, have us come check it before your rope breaks. Because once your rope or your cable breaks, then we have to get a lift to fix it because we got to fix it from the top. So it's always better to call us and have everything checked out before something breaks.
And people can call you if they need ropes or pulleys or whatever,
yep.
Whatever parts.
Yep.
How about like a ball or an eagle that's on top of the flagpole?
Yeah, we have some really cool eagles. We have balls. We have all the parts that you need.
I guess the most important question I'm going to ask you is, and then a backup question, it will be why. Are we flying enough flags in our country? And if not, why?
You know, we never think we're flying enough flags. If it were up to us, every homeowner and every business would have a flag out front. You know, our core is we love God, we love our country, and we have deep respect for our veterans. So, you know, that's how we believe. I don't know, you know. I think a lot of politics get involved and it just sways people but you know, we do everything we can to put up every flag anywhere we can.
You know, Lori, in the city of Philadelphia they have an arts law. When you build a building and it's over so many millions of dollars, a 1% or 2% of the construction cost must go to artwork outside the building. So if you're riding around Philadelphia, you will see some of the craziest looking art, because a lot of the architects and a lot of the people putting these buildings up don't like that they have to spend a few extra $100,000 for artwork. So they put something up ugly, and ugly's artwork too. Like we have a clothespin at 15th of Market, an old fashioned clothespin that must be 20 feet, 30 feet high. That was put. Wouldn't it be good if we had a law that if you build a building over a certain height, there should be a flag on it?
It sure would. It would.
What's a better piece of art than a flag flying from your building? I was involved in a controversy down here when a guy owned a diner, and he flew those gas station triangle, and the county got after him because you're not allowed to fly them. So he went out and he got flag banners. Little flags that he strung along, and I ended up getting in the middle of that protest, and I just defended the guy because they said, well, they're banners, they're not flags. Well, the American flag was called an American banner before it was a flag. The Star Spangled Banner, they even made a song about it. But
yeah,
I wrote an article. Yep. I remember writing, Lori, that it's sad that too many businesses in our country sell flags inside for a profit but don't fly them. Patriotism.
Yeah.
How can we change that?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's tough to. It's, you know, you would think it wouldn't be a hard thing to change, but it is.
Yeah.
Listen, you would think that, you know, we live in the greatest country.
I wanna,
and you would think everybody would want to fly one.
I want to introduce you to a lady. We got to go to a break first. I want to introduce you to a lady, a good friend of mine, and she's one of the ones responsible for flying the 5x9 American flag since last June. It left the United States, the Vietnam Wall, and it flew at 26 veteran cemeteries in 10 countries, and they were all flying on flagpoles. So we're going to bring Bunny up with you because I wanted to ask you if you do any flagpoles overseas, because we just flew some flags on those flagpoles recently. And I'll let Bonnie ask you when you come back. We're listening to the Welcome Home Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. WIBG 398-1020, the Welcome Home Show. We got two great ladies on the show right now. We have Lori Hewitt and my good friend, former sheriff of, first female sheriff of Chester County, Pennsylvania, Bunny Walsh. Lori, you know, we've had on, and Bunny's going to be talking about, I want to introduce you to Bunny. Bunny's responsible for the Welcome Home Show, Bill Ralph and I getting, and Logan getting involved with the Sanjour flag. And if I'm saying that correct, she will correct me on it. She takes me back to my fourth grade teacher every time I talk to her. You know, I just look out of the corner of my eye for the pointer or the ruler coming down to crash on my head or on my shoulders. But we've had on Mr. Finnegan last week. We had on McCoy Flag Company. We had Humphreys Flag Company. Of course, Ann and Bob from Ann and Flag Company, the oldest in the country. And there's museums. People will pay millions of dollars for Bob. What was it, Bill? Bob was telling us they had the flag from that was on Abraham Lincoln's casket.
Yeah.
Mr. Finnegan handled the he was the consultant for a private collector that bought the American flag and the presidential flag that were on President Kennedy's car the day he got shot. Custard's last flag. A lot of flags are in museums, and private collectors will pay millions of dollars for flags. My question to you is, Lori, are there any famous flagpoles in museums? Is there like a flagpole that, you know, we know, what was it, the Bill and Ralph, what was the flag that down in Baltimore that the start Francis Scott Keyes wrote?
Fort McKinley?
Fort McKinley. We know that flag is in the Smithsonian. But the flagpole to me is just as important as the flag. So my question, Lori, is do we have any historical flagpoles that are saved or in museums?
Not that I know of. We've got a lot of flagpoles in the national parks. But I don't believe there is, and I could be wrong, but not that I am aware of.
Do you know if you ever sent flagpoles or you manufactured flagpoles for any of the cemeteries around the world where we have veterans buried?
We did a 177-foot flagpole at National Harbor, in Spirit Park in National Harbor. We do a lot of veterans memorials. Different communities call us, so we've done a lot of the veterans cemeteries. We were just out in Nevada working at a national cemetery just a couple weeks ago. So we do a lot of restoring. Sometimes they want the flagpoles restored, and sometimes we replace them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, in the break, Lori, we were talking about our 100-foot pole in front of the old Cape May Courthouse building,
mm-hmm.
And it's 100 feet. It was built 95 years ago.
Yeah.
It was built in Millville. So that leads me to my question. You said you built 200-foot poles. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
we
one,
do.
Multiple sections? It can't be all one piece, is it?
Nope, it comes in, depending on, I mean, we can do a 600-foot flagpole. It just, however, you know, depends on the height of it is how many sections it comes in. When they get 100 feet or over, you switch over from the aluminum, and they're made of steel. Mm-hmm. And we manufacture those in-house. So we've done it for over 30 years, so we can do any size, you know,
so
possible.
You ship them, and then you assemble them on site as it goes up? That's pretty interesting.
So we manufacture them here, and then we freight them to the job site, and that's where they're put together. They're actually welded together on site. They leave out of here with a couple coats of primer and the first coat of paint, and then we assemble them on site, and then we put the final coats of paint right on site.
Will they ask you to recommend what kind of flag material to put on that flag that's going to be flying on a 200-foot pole?
When you get to the bigger ones, I mean, there's the 200-foot, there's a, you know, it's a 60-by-100 flag. A lot of times they'll fly. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Lori, I want to introduce you to Bunny. Bunny Walsh, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine, my friend, and so nice to meet you, Lori.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love it when Joe introduces people. He puts the most amazing people together, and I truly love it when he gets a smart woman like you, accomplished woman like you, and introduces her, and I just credit you for that, Joe. You're a great admirer of women and accomplished women, and I appreciate it. So it's nice to meet you, Lori.
And Bunny, tell Lori about, I guess it was last April or May, you called me about the Sojour. Am I saying it correctly?
Sojour.
I'll get it right.
Remember, so and journey.
I embarrassed her a little bit, everybody. She didn't beat me up. She didn't correct me.
Joe, let me tell you something. You're never going to get it right because you haven't gotten it right yet.
No, I haven't.
No.
I don't plan on getting it right.
No.
Listen,
so
I'm just a dumb Vietnam veteran that wasn't smart enough to go to college. So they sent me to Vietnam. You know? But listen, Bonnie, explain to Lori, tell Lori and everyone about the flag that's traveling pretty much around the world.
Yes, it has. We initiated it from the National Flag Foundation, which is located in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I am on the board there. I've been on the board there for 20-some years. And I, along with Romel Nicholas, who is the executive director, we originally, this has been almost 2 years ago now, said, what can we do for America's birthday? And we first decided we would have a flag that would visit all 67 counties in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I'm a retired sheriff from Chester County, but I was president of the state sheriffs. And I said, we could do that. That's easy. We'll just have a flag. I call it an interment flag. People call it a casket flag. I prefer to use the word interment. But to travel with the 67 counties, well, that'll be pretty easy. We'll contact the state sheriffs. Well, then Romel and I, and Romel is a great visionary. He said, can we do it across the United States? I said, sure. I'm still a life member of the National Sheriffs Association. So that's where the idea was born, to take one single flag. And Lori, our mission was to keep it dignified and respectful. We weren't looking for a big splash. We weren't looking for, you know, somebody said, bring in Tom Cruise or something. He said, no. This is about one single flag making a journey, a really solemn journey.
And no gold fringe around the flag. Nothing.
No, it's just a simple flag, animate the flag. Mm-hmm. And then we got started with the American Battle Monuments Commission. If you're not familiar with that, you or your listeners or whatever, what I did not know about that before, but what a wonderful organization that maintains 26 American cemeteries in Italy, France, Belgium, where Americans are buried, close to 180,000 Americans from the wars are buried in those cemeteries.
Wait a minute, in 10 different countries?
Yes, and they're maintained beautifully. If you look on their Facebook, they have various ceremonies there and flag raisings and lowerings and taps, and it is just so beautiful. And if you don't know about it, I encourage people to just go to the American Battle Monuments Commission. And they're the ones that took the flag, and they said, that was the Vietnam Wall down in Washington, Joe, as you remember. And they said, let us take it first. And we wanted to visit all 26 cemeteries, which it did. Then the five territories, Guam, it's been Iwo Jima, it's been to five of the territories. And then it transferred in on Veterans Day in November. We once again went to Arlington, transferred it from the American Battle Monuments Commission to the National Sheriff's. Since then, it has visited 28 states. It has also special trips. This gives me the chance.
Wait a minute. It has to, according to the bylaws, the charter that you and Rommel and everyone put together, it has to spend 3 days in each state, correct, to be fair?
Right. It spends 3 days, and it's up to the sheriff or his or her designee. If they want to do a big celebration, which you should see some of them, in Louisiana, the sheriffs did a big event. In Oklahoma, they did a big event. Or it can go in quietly. It can be put up the flagpole, saluted, have it respectfully, 13-fold, red glove.
Bonnie, tell us some of the places. It was just at Mount Rushmore.
And, are you ready for this? We were able, with the NFL, it was in the lead jet that did the flyover. This gives me chills. At the Super Bowl. And then the pilot came down on the field and brought the flag.
Yeah, you know, Bonnie, Lori's company got bumped that day as probably one of the highest places to ever fly an American flag was probably on the flagpole, etc. Flagpole. They've flown them on top of 100-story buildings. But I guess when it flies you to jet at 30,000 feet going 2,000 miles an hour. I guess that kind of tops you, Lori, and we're sorry about that.
That's all right.
But go ahead.
Lori, you didn't need a pole for that one, that's for sure.
No, just need a $2 billion jet. That's all.
The lead jet, too. And then afterwards, the pilots of those jets came down on the field with the flag in ceremonial fold and held it for photographs. It has been... it's amazing. And as I said, some places they do a big, they bring in the military, they bring in the Boy Scouts, and they do a big thing with music. Other places, like in Iowa, very quiet. It came in, they respectfully saluted it, refolded it, and moved it on. UPS has been wonderful. It transports the flag, all insured and everything. I was never aware that UPS actually has a special division for antiques and art and things like that. That makes sense. I'm learning so much about different organizations. But they have transported the flag. And what comes to the state, then the sheriff picks it up. They have 3 days to do their ceremony or whatever they want to do. Then it's moved on. It has now reached, I think it's hitting 30 states this week. And most exciting, Joe, May 22nd, it's coming to Wildwood, and I can't wait.
Yep, and we're going to unfold that with probably around 300 burial flags, casket flags, interment flags. The flag industry doesn't like using the word burial. Bonnie, you got me involved. I'm becoming a flag guy. I'm not an expert in anything, but I've talked to more damn flag companies and learned more and more and more. And know what's easy and great about talking to flag companies? They're all patriotic.
Yep.
You know? Ralph, how important is it to flag that more businesses fly the flag? And Ralph belongs to Delaware County Veterans Memorial. He's on the board. And
right.
Ralph, with the great president, Joe Daley. Ralph, you do a flag ceremony every year out there, every month or every week?
We do it, from April to November when the weather's good. We do it once a month, where we invite families that want to pay a final tribute to their loved one. And we do a casket flag ceremony where we raise a flag, we lower the flag, we fold the flag, and we present it to the family. And then the family gets to say a few words about their loved one. And sometimes it's one family, sometimes it's five families. And it's really nice for those that have, you know, someone that has been deceased for a lot of years and just didn't realize what they could do to honor them. And this is really meaningful. And of course, the flag is the centerpiece of everything. And, you know, I talk about the F-bomb. The F-bomb means freedom, but it means a flag. And it is, it becomes much more significant to family members when they appreciate the honor and dignity that we bestow on them with these ceremonies. So it's a big, big deal.
They just had a wonderful flag display. You know, that state trooper that was just killed in Chester County. And, of course, they had the coffin was flag-draped, and they had all kinds. He was also a firefighter. And if you've ever seen, it's so impressive, when they bring out the fire trucks with the ladders, and they park them next to each other, and then they hang a huge, and Lori, you might know the size. I don't know the size. I'm thinking 20 by 4. I don't know. Between the cranes, or between the ladders. And the police cars, hundreds of them, drive under this huge American flag. I'll tell you, it is a beautiful sight and very, very respectful and very, very honoring to the fallen officer.
Bonnie, hold on a minute. We got to go to a break. Before we go to a break, and Lori, we'll bring you back for two more minutes on the other side. I want people to get that your phone number, your web page, and all again. But, Bill, Bonnie will be surprised. What's going to be on each end of the street of the Vietnam Wall when she arrives on May 22nd in Wildwood?
Well, there'll be, as long as the winds aren't too strong, there'll be aerial trucks with very, very large flags hanging from them. Now, you know, we've done that at our Veterans Day ceremonies and Memorial Day and various events. What the nice thing about that is you can position the flag to get the best photo op.
That makes my heart skip a beat, I'll tell you.
Listen, we got to go to a fast break, but before we go, I want to let you go. Do you know why the flag is so important to families? I think the number one reason why the flag is so important to families, it's the last gift that veteran gave to his mom and dad. You're listening to the Welcome Home Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. WIBG 398-1020, the Welcome Home Show. We have the honor of having Bill Logan, Ralph, and myself, Lori Hewitt, who's the Director of Operation of Flagpoles, etc. If you have a spot, I'm sure Lori can find a way of putting that flagpole up. Lori, before we forget and we let you go, you have a contest coming up.
We do. We've got a couple things to help celebrate America's 250th. We have the 250th collector's flag available. There was only 10,000 made. I think we're down. We only have like 130 left. They come with a certificate of authenticity. So we do have that. But our big contest that we are running an essay contest, and the winner, we are going to give them a 20-foot flagpole with the installation. So they can, we've got information on our website. It's a 250 to 500 word essay. You just nominate a community, a business, or an individual that just embodies our spirit of America. And we are going to announce that winner. You can submit the essay through April 15th, and then we're going to announce the winner in May. And then we will make sure that that flagpole is installed before the 4th of July.
Is it limit to a certain age?
Nope. There's no limit.
Okay. That's cool. Bill, we can do that.
Yeah, we can. We need a little bit more time, though. We don't work well on computers.
Yeah, listen. Ralph, you want to submit the flag that they made in the Hanoi Hilton?
I think it's in the Smithsonian, but what the heck?
Yeah, but anyway.
Maybe we could do a midnight raid.
Listen, Lori, God bless you. Thank you. Will you come back again?
I sure will.
And give a phone number out again. It's I guess it's 888-735-5591. And Lori, give out your web page of your company.
Our web page is www.flagpolesetc.com. And we are, any of your listeners that call in and mention your show, we're giving them 10% off their U.S. flag order.
And listen, thanks, Sheila. And Robert Ray, the owners of your company, for letting us come on and
I will. And thank you for having us.
And one other thing, Julia, your receptionist.
Uh huh. Julie.
What a nice lady.
Yeah.
Really. Pat Croce, that was the owner of the 76ers, and he owned a lot of medical companies and made a lot of money, always said, the most important person that works for a company, big or small, is the receptionist that you meet when you enter and you leave. Because they're the ones that set the tone for how they feel, whether you had a good meeting, a bad meeting, or whatever. And Pat Croce said at Christmas time, he always spent the biggest gifts that he gave out at Christmas was to his receptionist.
Yeah.
Julie.
This is a family-owned business for 30 years, and we like those old school values of customer service, where we pick up the phone and we talk to our customers and we get to know our customers, and we feel very, very strongly about our customer service and getting to know the people that call.
Lori, I'll never look at a flagpole again. I don't think of you and your company. But listen, God bless you, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you before Memorial Day.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Bunny, I want to introduce you to a lady, a good friend of Bill and mine, and Ralph's. Ralph's taking over her museum with all his uniforms and all. I know you had to size down and move, Ralph, but Christ, did you have to give everything to the Forgotten Warrior Museum?
The places that do the most respectful things to our Vietnam vet.
Is that as nice as any exhibit you're going to see in any museum, including the Smithsonian?
Yeah. And Ralph, you noticed that there was a Marine garden that...
As it should be.
Number five.
Well, Ralph knows who it is, but it happens to be my uniform on a mannequin that's...
So we both provided uniforms. That's great.
Yep. And listen, we have Peggy Collins, a good friend of ours. Her dad started 30 years ago a Forgotten Warrior Museum, and it's probably the largest collection under one roof of Vietnam veterans, from canteens to Lister bags to Mermite cans to shovels, rifles, bullets, claymore mines, you name it. Peggy's got it in the museum. And her dad died a few years ago. And Peggy's really taken over the museum, and she's put a lady's touch on it, a woman's touch on it. Because Tommy displayed everything. Sometimes you'd have to go up on the roof if you gave him a uniform to find out where he hung your uniform. Peggy's got everything. It went from just a regular museum to now it's a smaller version if you went into the Smithsonian. And Peggy, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Say hello to my friend, Bonnie Walsh. She's a former sheriff. She'll always be the sheriff of Chester County.
Hello there.
Hello,
nice to meet you. And hello to my good friends, Ralph and Bill, too.
Yeah, and Peggy, we want to get Bonnie over the day of Memorial Day weekend to see your museum.
Wonderful. Anytime. Anytime.
Now, Bunny is the lady that's really responsible for getting our show involved with the Sojourner flag. I guess I'm saying it close enough.
It's close. Sojourner.
Yeah. And it was Bunny that we went to and said, hey, do you think maybe we can bring it to Wildwood when we have the Flags of Liberty and the POW flag? And it didn't take long. What was your reaction, Bunny, when you took it back to Rommel? And I don't know if anybody else on your committee had to approve it, but what was your reaction?
Rommel was very receptive. And Rommel and I are the two with the National Flag Foundation where we originated the Sojourn 250, and also really with the plans. But, of course, we're working with American Battle Monuments Commission, the National Sheriff's Association, UPS. There's a lot of...
Wait a minute, don't forget James McCormick.
And the Vietnam. Wow, that's where we launched it at the Vietnam Wall, as you know, in D.C. That's where we launched the journey originally. And very, very important. It was such a solemn, as I said, this whole journey is very solemn. We're not looking for ruffles and flourishes. We're not looking for anything. As it hits each state, they can have a celebration. They can have a quiet, respectful folding of the flag. They can have scouts. They could have veterans. And then they respectfully fold it and move it on. And some places have... Some states, like Louisiana, had like 10 sheriffs. That was just at South Dakota, Mount Rushmore. They had half a dozen sheriffs. It flew over the in a jet over the Super Bowl. It's been everywhere now, but it's got another 12 states, I believe, to go. And then, Joe, we should mention, when it finishes its journey, July 4th, it will return, or July 2nd, actually, it will return to the National Flag Foundation, and on July 4th, there will be the American Legion Riders. I know you've been in touch with Dave Heredia.
Dave was on the show a few weeks ago.
Right, the commander.
But I'll be honest with you, we got to bring him back. He actually invited himself back because we asked him what the route was, that the, and he said, Joe, they didn't really designate the way they're going to get people out, but he said, I need to come back one, and we're going to do that and have him.
Right. I think they've defined the journey because I was just with sheriffs in Maryland, put them in touch with Dave, and 250 American Legion riders will escort the flag from Pittsburgh into D.C. on July 4th. Now, we've got people in Pennsylvania. We've got the Pennsylvania, the FOP. We've got police along the way to help in the route. I'm now working with the Maryland sheriffs to help through as it goes through Maryland into D.C. So Dave has done a tremendous job with the American Legion Riders, and he's very detailed in planning the route, because moving 250 motorcycles, as you know, is a terrific project. And of course, they have everything down to the minute when they stop at fuel, where they can have a place to, you know, you just don't pull in anywhere with 250 motorcycles. And he has worked on every detail. So that final journey of our flag from Pittsburgh to D.C. will commence on July 4th, and they will end up at the Nationals Field in Washington, D.C., because that's the only place we can really park 250 motorcycles.
And, Bill, we just had breakfast with Roosevelt, the president of the FOP for Philadelphia, and he represents thousands of members, and he's a real, real big veteran supporter. So we know, and you know that, all them guys, anything that from the Philadelphia standpoint, we can talk on the show, that they will be right there. And we've been on honor flight trips. Bill, have you ever been on one?
No, I haven't.
They take 5, 6, 8 buses, and they leave, and they take the veterans down, and they go by escort down, and when you leave Pennsylvania, you get to Delaware, the Delaware State Police take over, then you get to Maryland, the Maryland State Police take over, and it's unbelievable. They move cars over, the traffic stops on both sides, they just shut it down for these. Have you been on those honor flight trips, Ralph?
No, I spoke at two of them upon their return, and they are shocked. I mean, they enjoy the day, but they are shocked at the reception they get when they get home. I mean, it's just an incredible event for these guys. And, I wish I was on one, but I got the next best thing.
And I
have worked with them here in Chester County because I work with the caterer when they return.
Yes.
I've been working with the caterer when we serve them the meal when they return. And it is unbelievable. I mean, the last time we had two veterans celebrating their 100th birthday. It is just, once again, it's one of those, such a proud event, and to see all of these veterans come in from Vietnam, from Korea, from even a couple from World War II, and to have them come in, what a blessed day it is for them.
And we got to give a shout out to Kathy and Andrew. They're the two founders of Philadelphia Honor Flight. They've been doing it for a lot of years. There are more people now that are stepping up as Andrew's getting up in ages. But they do hours, thousands of hours. They raise the money, and it's just unbelievable. And we also got to give a shout out to a friend of ours, James McCormick, just had some surgery done. I got a phone call last night, and I was hoping the phone call was saying that they finally woke up in Washington and awarded him, upgraded his Silver Star to the Medal of Honor. We think that'll come soon, though. But he had surgery, so we're going to keep him in our prayers. He's going to be all right. And you know James McCormick, Money. He's just a tough, tough. Uh-huh. His dad did a couple tours in Vietnam. He's a couple Silver Star recipients. I mean, he's just a tough, tough guy. And I don't know if anybody knows Washington better than he does. It was a great choice that when you went to get him. He's great. So, Peggy, you're the Forgotten Warrior Museum. Any idea how many artifacts are in there?
Thousands.
Like, yeah.
I couldn't even begin to count. There's just so many. There's big things. There's little tiny things. Even all the way down to a Zippo lighter that he kept.
Now, Bunny, what she means by big things outside is a tank that the Army didn't want in Vietnam, so we gave 200 of them to the Marines. We have two helicopters outside, a deuce and a half, a couple of jeeps. Bill, I don't know if you knew that. Those little Altos, mini tanks were sent over to the Army.
Yeah,
obviously,
I know.
We don't want them. Give them the Marines.
Marine Corps used them very well.
Yeah.
Peg, I got a question that came up, matter of fact, on a phone call earlier today. When someone provides the museum with an item, do they have the right to get it back at some point, or is it property of the museum forever?
Well, when I do have some documentation that they have the option to sign off to the museum, or they do have the option to come back at another time. So, yes, we would never deny a Vietnam veteran their items if ever they needed or wanted to take them. We would just need to make sure that they are who they say they are.
Well, we can do that by them taking pictures or pictures of them or you standing by it. The question Roy came up with, I'd like to have it go to my grandkids at some point, but not right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's where the documentation would come into play. That could be written in that way that at some point, if my grandchildren want this, that then they can bring that documentation with them and we would... gladly hand everything over. We would be the protectors until the time comes.
And that would work out because 5 minutes after that item left, you'd refill it with something, the next donation.
There's another way to handle that also. I know a couple instances. I think the POW MIA fight, and I have to call Susie tomorrow. She lent her mother, she gave her mother's POW MIA banner, the original one made to a flag museum in Arkansas. But she has the right to borrow it whenever she needs it.
There you go.
So I gave you my uniform. And if we ever did something at another, at Homedale Museum, if they were doing something about uniforms, I would have no trouble calling you, say, Peggy, can I borrow it for a couple of weeks and then return it to you? I mean,
absolutely,
I'm working on something with Homedale now, Bob Furlow's Museum in Atlantic County, I guess it'd be a good time to tell you now on the radio that if we want to share artifacts, if say you have something that Bob Furlow's is going to be doing a display of or an exhibit on, and you have a canteen, you're doing an exhibit on canteens that were that soldiers drank out of in World War I, Revolutionary War, World War II, Vietnam. I would have no trouble saying, Peggy, can I borrow that canteen in your case and we'll return it? You know, your name would be on it and this and that.
Absolutely. You know what? It's all for the main purpose, and that is to honor our Vietnam veterans. So if there is a display that's being promoted and there's more items could help that display so that our Vietnam veterans could be honored, of course. So, and vice versa. So it would be a wonderful relationship to start. And And it helps, like, rotate things. So it's all good.
Peggy, we only have a minute left. Peggy, tell everybody about your open house next week.
So next Sunday is Vietnam Veterans Day. And I do know that it is also Palm Sunday. But a lot of our Vietnam veterans really would appreciate that the day be celebrated on the actual day. And that is why we chose to do it on Sunday. And so we are having our open house from 10 to 3. And we have a slew of a lineup of different things that are going to happen, a memorial ceremony that's being led by Bill Davenport's VVA Chapter 995. We have a live vocalist who's going to sing The Wall, Bob Rulio. We're going to have a plaque dedication presentation, and we have a main speaker, Robin Bartlett, who's a helicopter combat assault, who has a PowerPoint presentation. And then we are also going to have a Quilt of Valor, and we also are going to have several different veteran organization resource tables. For anyone who maybe, you know, has some questions about any kind of a veteran needs that they might have.
Listen, we got to give a little break. Peggy, we love you.
All right, love
Bunny,
you back.
We love you. And you notice today, Bunny, I'm surrounding myself with a lot of great women.
You love women, and we love you back. Thank you, Peggy. Nice to meet you, Peggy.
All right, you're listening to Welcome Home Show. We'll be right back.
Oh, the hills of dear Newcastle and the smiling vales between. When the corn is all in tassel and the meadowlands are green. Where the cattle crop the clover and its breath is in the air. While the sun is shining our beloved Delaware. Oh, our Delaware, our beloved Delaware, for the sun is shining over our beloved Delaware. Oh, our Delaware, our beloved Delaware, here's the loyal in the peaceful land of Kent, where the toiler seeks his willow with the blessings of content, where the bloom that tints the peaches cheeks of merry maidens share, and the woodland chorus preaches a rejoicing Delaware. Delaware, for the sun is shining over our beloved Delaware. Oh, our Delaware, our beloved Delaware, here's the loyal sun that pledges faith to good old Delaware. Here's the loyal sun that pledges faith to good.
Welcome back, everyone. WIBG 398-1020, the Welcome Home Show. Bill, I was down in Delaware, and Ralph, I was down in Delaware, I guess it was in November, for their big NAMVETS, if I'm saying it correctly, dinner. And Rodney and I got talking. And Rodney, do you remember what that subject was?
Having a Veterans Day parade in Delaware.
Well, I think I asked you, what day is your Veterans Day parade? And the subject came up that you really didn't have one. But don't feel alone. Philadelphia, the birthplace, even though Delaware's the first state in the nation, the first star that we put on our flag, Philadelphia with Independence Hall, Betsy Ross, the Liberty Bell, Constitution Center, Washington lived there, Ben Franklin lived there, Adams lived there. You name it, they lived there. And if they didn't live there, their girlfriends lived there, or their parents lived there, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They never had a parade in Philadelphia. So I wasn't that surprised. But we're going to have a parade this year, aren't we, Rodney?
Yes, we are.
And do me a favor, would you introduce this? I don't know how this lady, she called our show before we went on the air today, Danielle Hall. She's a councilwoman mm-hmm. from Dover. She is an Air Force veteran. She's got two sons in the Air Force. I believe her dad's a Vietnam veteran. She has 10 kids.
Mm-hmm.
10 kids, beautiful woman.
She wanted, absolutely.
Now that I told you her, now that I told you her bio, you can introduce her.
Oh well, listen. I call her Dr. Councilwoman, you know, Danielle Hall. You know, such an amazing, you know, veteran, United States Air Force, and you know, bring a lot of energy, intelligence to Delaware. I think she has been doing so many amazing things in her life, and now to just have leadership on council for the first state is amazing. So,
and you know, Rodney, when we were talking that night, mm-hmm. I think Danielle was the first person we went up to and said, "Hey, what do you think of this idea?" And my God, she was ready to jump up and down. She was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you introduce her and bring her up?
Well, listen, I introduced to some, and for those who don't know, hey, Dr. Councilwoman Danielle Hall, Air Force veteran, a great friend of mine. Hey, I might be older than her, Joe, but she's still a mentor of mine. So I love the work that she's doing around the state and continue to advocate on behalf of veterans and now in leadership, making sure that she advocates for all Delawareans. So, you know, she just don't have a big impact on the veteran community. She also has an impact on, you know, the city of Dover in Delaware.
So. And small business. You know, she's a small business entrepreneur and anyway, but Danielle, are you with us?
I am. Hello. Greetings.
Yeah, how you doing, my friend?
I am well. Listen, I don't know about you guys. I was having a conversation today, and somebody said this last month we've had all four seasons in one month. I'm so excited it's warm today and not snowing.
Now,
absolutely.
Now, I want to say this and be respectful, because I'll get emails from somebody that it was disrespectful. But do you have an advantage when you run for office? You got 10 kids, and if they're all married, you got the election won just in your house. Rodney, she doesn't even have to go to the polling. She don't have to campaign. Just get all her kids to vote. You know.
Yeah,
well, let me chime in on that, shall we? This last race, I won by 3 votes, and so having 6 votes in my household alone was an excellent thing for me, because I crossed the finish line with a very slim, razor slim margin, so every vote counts.
But you only have to win by 1. That's all you got to do.
Well, you know, they can always ask for the recount, you know, and sometimes that's pretty interesting. I had a good friend of mine that ran, and he lost by 2 votes. And they had it recounted, I believe, either 7 or 8 times. And when it finally flipped to a win on the 8th recount, that's the one they chose to certify. So, you know, that's a very interesting process we have here.
All right, Danielle, you're an Air Force veteran. You spent 4 years. You got 2 sons that they're in the military, or they were in the military.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
What branch of service is she in again?
Air Force. Yeah, Ralph.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure everybody heard that.
And I'm going to introduce you in a minute, but Danielle, tell Bill and Logan and Ralph who Calvin is.
Calvin is my hero. Calvin is my deceased father. He lost his battle with the cancers due to his exposure from Agent Orange in Vietnam at the hands of a very broken VA system without his dignity. So my dad, 26-year veteran, medically retired, came out of the military and went right to work in the community alongside his military service. He was doing that as well. When I tell you that I sat in the passenger side of his pickup truck and he taught me what service above self was personified, I can't even use enough words to describe how much this man played into my life. So that is who counts.
You're very lucky. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. And Danielle and Rodney, you know Ralph Galati, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever met Bill Davenport. I know when you talked to Bill here on the show.
All the time, yeah.
We talked a lot.
Wait a minute. We talk to Marines, don't we, Rodney?
Sure.
Yes.
Rodney,
we
just
use our hands. We just use our hands a lot. That's
yeah,
all.
That's all. Listen, we want to thank you guys, and we're excited. We're going to meet on Monday. Danielle and Rodney, both of you, how important is it to have a parade to honor our vets, all veterans, not just Vietnam veterans, but all veterans, on Veterans Day or around Veterans Day? How important is it? And we're at war again now. We're about ready to send troops in the ground. And we're a warring country. Can't we ever go 10 years without sending troops somewhere to die?
Apparently not.
Yeah. but for me to answer that question, Joe, it's more than a parade for us. You know, it's a movement of recognition, healing, and unity. You know, it honors eras of service for World War II, the global war on terror. So recognizing active duty veterans and National Guard reservists, the Gold Star families, combat veterans, you name it. It creates visibility, you know, for veterans in our community. That's number one. You know, it reinforces the patriotism, you know, that around the civic pride that we so much love. So it's just not about the parade. It's just not about making sure that veterans feel forgotten. You know, it's not on Veterans Day, not any other day. You know, so for sure, this bring about camaraderie all over the state, all over the country. It's just a movement to honor. Because if you got freedom, Joe, you got to thank a vet.
Now, Rodney, you are on the commission with the governor of Delaware, correct?
That is correct.
And we should be able to get the governor's support. But you want to know something, Rodney? People might say no to Joe Griffiths. They might say no to you. They're not going to say no to Danielle Hall. I know
not
that, right? Danielle, how excited are you about getting involved in this?
I'm over the moon ecstatic. You know, this is coming, this conversation that we're having today is coming in on the tail end of the fact that the governor just signed a bill commemorating the 6888, with that particular unit being the all-black female Army battalion that served in World War II. And, you know, I'm excited anytime any body of the legislature.
Wait a minute.
To embrace like anything military. So I'm over the moon.
Wait a minute. I just got an idea. And I think we might have somebody that might want to be riding in one of the elite cars that day. And her name is Brenda Brown. And Brenda Brown is a very, very good friend of mine. My wife just bought 100 of her books. And the name of her book is My Little Brown Soldier Girl. And mm-hmm. Brenda Brown lives in Georgia, and she wrote the story, 6888, with Liz Frazier, who just retired from the VA, or about to retire from the VA, and Carmelita Espinazo directed the movie with the gentleman Tyler, who sponsored the movie. But the 6888, they've been on our show numerous times, and Brenda Brown wanted to send me a couple books to give away, and my wife said, no, we'll buy 100 and we'll give them away. So
nice.
I have one of those books for you, Danielle, when I meet you. And I think I gave Rodney one.
Absolutely. And a great read.
And
great read.
I think they would be a nice, Brenda would be a nice person to her mother was one of the 6888. She wrote the story that they made the Netflix
movie.
The movie out of. I think it would be great, and I think we can't forget the wax, the waves, the women, the donut dollies, the 6888s. that never got any recognition for what they did.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And
I think that's an awesome idea.
Now, let me ask you a question. I know Rodney, Danielle's going to knock down doors to get this, to get the excitement started and to get this this parade off the ground. And we'll use the same format that we used in Philadelphia. Parade's a parade, you know? Mm-hmm. A parade is a bunch of veterans showing up, either walking, riding in a car, being pushed in a wheelchair, or sitting on a bus, waving out a window. It's all about thanking them for their service. And Danielle, is there anything you want to add on? And it's open to, I think we should invite anybody that wants to be at our meetings, that wants to bring anything that's positive. How do you feel about that, Danielle?
You know, I'm all for anybody who wants to be hands on deck, because we certainly need that. Oh, and by the way, both my boys started out in the Air Force. My older son married his high school sweetheart, and she went active duty Navy. So he converted from Air Force to Navy. So I have a sailor, and my airman, just praise God, got his 100% disability rating. I'm excited that it took him a minute to get it, but finally, after some persistence, he's good to go. So, you know, my whole enthusiasm around supporting those that have worn the uniform is just amplified just because of three generations of that legacy of service. We have some great people here in the First State. Rodney and I have had the pleasure of corralling some folks that won't mind amplifying this to any and everybody to get this done in a cohesive and concerted effort. So I'm looking forward. I'm sure you can hear the enthusiasm in my voice.
No
trepidation about using this thing. So just imagine them trying to make me be quiet.
How about City Council? Will they be supportive of this?
Oh, absolutely. We have several veterans on the council. So
yes.
That's going to be an easy sell in our home court advantage here. You know, the Air Force Base is in my backyard, literally. So we have a huge military population in this area. So, you know, we've always been favorable to supporting any and everything that has anything to do with supporting our military community here. So I can't foresee that we'll have any problems in that. And, you know, I plan on having my voice amplified all the way to wherever it can go. So it may start out in the city, but those who know me know very well that I don't have a problem engaging folks at all levels to make sure that we have the best interests of our veteran community at heart.
And you know, Danielle, Rodney knows Richard Dezaro. He always says, veterans never die until they're forgotten about. That's what these parades are for. They'll let our country know that the living, the deceased, the ones that are in nursing homes and hospitals, they can never be forgotten. Ralph, we might be able to twist your arm and Bill's arm to get down there for this parade. You know?
Where's it going to be? Down at Dover, right?
Yeah.
I get the Dover Air Force Base a lot. Do you know Rosalie Robinson down there?
Rosalie's up north, but, you know, it's 3 hours from north to south, and I think probably an hour and a half from east to west in the widest part. So we're a state of neighbors. Rosalie is a great lady, and I know she would love to have a part in this.
Good deal. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
You know, and Bill, you know, you'll let Marines come down that parade, won't we, Ralph?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll let them in. I just think it's great. We're gonna have, you know, dedicate, just like we did with the San Jose flag and the flags of liberty. We're going to donate a lot of time on this radio show to get the word out, to get organizations to come. And I think the first remark's going to be is, why haven't we done this before? Well, guess what? The hardest walk of a 1,000-mile journey is the first step. And Rodney, you already took the first step.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But Joe, let me just add, you know, the young fellow that we honored at the event for that night, the Buyers Industrial Service committed to 10 plus grand They sent me a check for $2,500 to start, and we'll continue to send checks leading up to the parade. I already signed on as one of the sponsors. I think that, you know, these men and women in Delaware, business owners,
money's going to be the least of the problem. Money's easy to come by. Know what? Now, how easy it is to get money? Just call the right people.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. Would you agree, Danielle?
Absolutely.
Just, and you're a small business owner. You know what? And guess what? It's not going to cost that much, but whatever it costs, it's well worth it, because guess what? Mm-hmm. You can't put a price tag on that. Danielle, we're going to let you go, because we're bringing up a lady I think you know, Debbie Harrington, who ran for lieutenant governor. And we're going to have quite a few of these shows to keep promoting what you do. Give a number where, if you're in the Dover, Delaware area, or even the Philadelphia area, give a number for your small business. You're a contractor. God. She does everything. I do residential
and commercial remodeling. So I've been in business for quite some time. It's funny. I had an opportunity to engage an audience, and I asked in the audience, I said, can somebody tell me what they think that I did for my career while I was in the military? All of them had me in admin. And so when I told them that I could turn a wrench with the best of them, they all smiled and gasped and laughed. And I said, yeah, girls can fix things too. So don't let the makeup and the hair and the nails fool you.
Hey, Danielle, before we let you go, do you know Phyllis Wilson down at the Women's War Memorial?
I've heard her name. I'm not sure if we formally met, but before I go, my number is 302-399-8838.
Give it again.
302-399-8838.
And by the way, Phyllis Wilson retired from that warrant officer, I think 38 years. She was a chief warrant officer, which is the highest you can go. And between you and Phyllis, you have 18 children. And
how about that?
And Phyllis has, like, of her 8 children, like 6 are in the military. You got a couple. You got your own branch of the service between the two of you. Christ, you monopolize.
That's amazing.
Danielle, you monopolize voting. You monopolize the military, you know? Great lady, isn't
Amen.
She, Rodney? Listen, we got to go to a break. We'll be talking. Rodney, stay with us. You're listening to Welcome Home Show. We're the first state in the Union that had the first star on our American flag. Actually, Bill, as Mr. Finnegan last week said, only 37 states joined the Union, because 13 of the original colonies were the stars, were the country. They were the founders of our country. Delaware has more chickens than people. first state in the Union. Delaware is home to the largest population of horseshoe crabs in the world. There are no sales tax in Delaware, making it a major attraction for tourists who are looking to save money. And this year, we will be hosting the first Veterans Day Parade in the town of Delaware, Dover, Delaware. And Bill, it's all yours.
Welcome back, everybody. Today being March 22nd, we'll announce the birthdays and casualties on this date on the Vietnam Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C., and Wawa, New Jersey, and dozens of other places throughout the country. Today, there'll be 174 birthdays, two of those from New Jersey. Casualties will be 196, yeah, with nine from New Jersey. Some local men: William Lamont, United States Marine Corps, born April 18th, 1946. He died March 16th, 1967. He's from North Cape May. I happen to have known him, grown up with him. He spent a lot of time in Wildwood, and I talk about him every year at the Christmas tree lighting in Lower Township, which was named in his honor. He'll be 20 forever.
Yeah, I thought that name sounded familiar, Bill.
Billy Lamont. George Coleman, United States Marine Corps, born December 5th, 1942. He died March 17th, 1968, from Wildwood Crest. He's a recipient of the Silver Star, has a park right on his home street of Rosemary Road in the Bay, along with Michael Callahan, who was dedicated in their name. He'll be 26 forever. John J. Gorman, United States Marine Corps, March 27th, 1931. He was a career Marine. He was died March 22nd, 1968. He is from Atlantic City. He'll be 36 forever. Anthony V. Mayon, United States Army. He was born March 23rd, 1949. He died August 22nd, 1969. He was originally from Bayonne, but married and had a wife and a child in the Villas. He'll be 20 forever.
Yeah. It's a shame the sacrifice these guys made. Rodney, how excited are you about getting this parade on the underground? And I couldn't think of a better person to be in charge.
Hey, Joe, I'm extremely excited. Like I said,
you know, I'm just a schlepper on this. That's all.
Nah, listen, I think that, you know, in trying to get something like this organized, you know, takes a great deal of folks. And we always say to ourselves, folks are saying, well, why now?
Why not now?
That's right. And my response was the urgency and the purpose, you know, because we still have so many veterans who are struggling and battling with post-traumatic stress, homelessness, access to health care, economic hardships. The parade is going to serve as a public acknowledgement of sacrifice, number one, a bridge between civilians and veterans, also a bridge, you know, a platform for resources and support awareness. This is what this is all about.
Wait a minute. You know, I read that list of Delaware, Bill. Their biggest hobbies, bicycles. Mm-hmm. They're largest in the country in the world for horseshoe crabs. They're the first state to have a star in the flag. They're the second smallest state geographically. Know what else I forgot to read on that?
What?
Rodney Little gave out. How many winter coats did you give out last year, Rodney?
Last year, gosh, probably about close to 4,000.
4,000 winter.
You know, we had the first.
Well, wait a minute, Rodney, wait a minute. Where do you find 4,000 used coats?
No used. This is not used coats. These are brand new, name brand coats from our good
friend. Yes, they are.
Yes. From our Ocean State Job Lot.
From Job Lots. Your good friend.
Absolutely.
Your good friend that runs the philanthropy.
Dave Scarlett.
Nice man. He drove all the way down. He drove all the way down to be at your dinner. Drove him from Chicago because the planes weren't running because there was some, I don't know, a strike or something going on. They shut down. Mm-hmm. The government shut down. And he drove in. He had his jeans and a T-shirt on because his luggage was on one plane. And he could often rent a car. He showed up for you, Rodney. That says a lot.
Yes, he did.
That says a lot.
And promised to double everything that he keeps sending to Delaware.
Yep.
You know, free of charge.
Yep. And listen.
And we're talking about service. And this is what that's all about, Joe, about service men and women. You know, we honor service, not just with words, but with actions, visibility, and community commitment.
Yep.
And that's what your Ocean State job lot exemplifies, and the men and women who serve as well. So we got to continue to take care of them.
And you, I continue. We're both on the committee with Rita Chappelle from Military Basketball and
yes.
Suicide. You know, none of us get paid, Rodney.
Nope. All free.
It's all free.
Not one red cent.
We get paid other ways. We get paid other ways. But do me a favor. We get some colonel on the line. You know, a friend of yours, Colonel Debbie Harrington, are you with us?
I am with you, Joe. I'm with you. And I see you have my favorite person, my favorite Sergeant Major on the phone.
Yes, there we go. Yes. Here we go. We just lost the whole show. You know, go ahead. Debbie, how is your daughter, Elizabeth, doing?
She's doing great. We were just talking about her. She's getting to go and study abroad, and we're excited for her to,
where's she
to have that opportunity. She's going to Costa Rica, and it's a short time, but she's taking Spanish, and she gets to live with a family and really be engulfed in the Spanish culture.
Now, did she go to college? Did she graduate college?
Yeah, she hasn't graduated yet. She's in college, and that's where she's going to this. That's where she's going to experience Costa Rica through the college program.
Now, people might not think that's a big Ralph. People might not build. People might not think that's a big to do. But tell us.
Can I just interject, Debbie? This is Bill. I know the experience she's going to have. My daughter spent two summers in Spain during college years, and she double majored, and one was Spanish. There's no better way to do it than to immerse yourself in the
town. I'm telling you, mm-hmm. I am so happy for her, Bill. It's crazy that she gets to, and I'm very proud of her that
Debbie, Debbie, tell everybody a little bit about Elizabeth.
Elizabeth is, she's at 29 years old, but she was born without eyes. She was born with what's called anophthalmia, but it simply means that her eyes did not form. So she's totally blind, and she has cerebral palsy. So life is not, kind of getting through life is not as easy as it is for most people in terms of being mobile. For her, she's very, very limited by sight and by the strength of her legs and muscular deficiencies. So she is, but she's very smart. She's one intelligent, mm-hmm. very intelligent young lady.
Yes, she is.
She's very smart, and she's very courageous because, people would not try to do the things she does, but she does it anyway.
Well, you stole my question. Rodney, who do you think she got her courage and her bravery from?
My mother.
Her mother.
You know it.
And by the way, Elizabeth was flirting with me that night at that dinner.
I think she was. I was honored.
But Debbie, how important is this parade? And you ran for lieutenant governor, so you know all the players. How important is having a Veterans Day parade in Dover this year?
We actually have a parade typically in Wilmington.
Okay.
Once a year, usually around on Memorial Day, they have a parade, and so it's not that parade is a veterans parade. It's kind of new to Delaware, but it's new in the sense that this is going to be more statewide. The news, the word will get out statewide. And it's just, as Rodney said, it's just a grand opportunity to acknowledge our veterans and for their service and their sacrifices. And, of course, it's an opportunity to connect for our veterans to connect with our communities. Our communities, I'm sure, hear a lot about veterans, but to see the number of people and who they are, from just a totally, completely diverse group of people that serve this country, that serve our state. We have an awesome National Guard, so we and there are lots of our community members who are members of the National Guard. So you get to connect with these people. You see their faces. You can reach out and touch them, and I think that's an awesome opportunity for us to do this. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, a huge task. But we have some very willing and able people to make this happen, particularly with someone like Rodney and the others who are participating. And you, Joe, you come in here to help us with this.
Yeah, but I'm a visitor. You know me. You know, I'm just a visitor with a big mouth. And by the way, we should make it really clear, Rodney, that Colonel Harrington is an Army veteran.
Oh, absolutely.
None of that Air Force, Ralph Galati, and Marine and all
that's
that,
right.
You know?
That's right. All of
them.
Hey, Ralph, are you?
Yes, sir.
You think if we're going to book you now, we're going to find out when we have our meeting in probably another week or whenever it is.
Yeah.
We'll get a date down. We're going to book you right away, so there's no excuses about where you're going to be at, or I'm talking here, or I'm talking there, or whatever, you know?
Well, I go down to Dover at least once or twice a year. Usually it's for their POW MIA ceremony in September.
Yeah.
And I know a bunch of folks. I used to work in Delaware, so I know a lot of the folks there. And I'm just happy to see them kind of standing tall, doing it in the state capitol. You know, yeah. And what better than right by the Air Force Base there? So it's really already kind of a military hub for a lot of folks. So I think you'll be really successful.
And Debbie, I don't know if you ever met Ralph, but Ralph's a former prisoner of war. Bill built the Vietnam Wall in Wildwood. We could probably twist his arm. It's probably been 50 years since he's been out of Wildwood, so it might do him good to get the Delaware in. I just think we're really excited, and anytime we honor our veterans, especially with the 250th birthday, I think we got to go to a fast break. We're going to come back for a few more minutes before we go off the air. So everybody hang on. You're listening to the Welcome Home Show. Welcome back, everyone. WIBG 398-1020, the Welcome Home Show. Hey, Ralph, how important are parades, especially Veterans Day parades?
You know, I had a parade back in 73, and it was really awesome. It was really uncomfortable, but it was incredible that people would come out and salute veterans. And it's a shame these days that they are so poorly attended. I mean, sometimes there were more people in the parade than watched the parade. But those that do it are very passionate about it. Some of the, in Philly, you know, the TV stations covered a little bit.
Wait a minute. Our friend Bob McMahon does a pretty good job out of media. He's been doing it for a long time. I mean, when we get fire trucks, he gets the Clydesdales. Really?
Yeah. Like I said, in Delaware, with Dover being the state capital, and a military base nearby, you know, it is really a great location in the center of the state, you know, and it's not that far from, you know, the big cities up in the north, you know, and the farmlands in the south. It's really not that far from everybody, and I'm really hopeful that, you know, you get the word out and you get a really good attendance for something that's probably, you know, long overdue in Delaware.
So Debbie, any idea what route you're going to pick? I know we're not up to that
yet. I don't
know.
I think they, Joe, I think that Dover has a set parade route. I know I've done other parades down there, and they tend to go the same way.
Good. That makes
it
easy.
We'll get the opportunity to talk to the mayor about, you know, the parade route for this veterans event, because normally the parades are kind of smaller in Dover area, but this I expect to be a large parade, and so hopefully we'll have a longer route. And people in Dover, that is really a sort of a military community, so people in Dover will come out. They'll come out. I think you were right about, you know, how the parade, you have parades, and sometimes you have more people in the parade than you have watching. But in this case, I do believe that they will come out for this parade. We'll have a lot of people in the parade, but we'll have a lot of people standing on the sidelines.
Not only is Delaware one of the original 13 colonies, they were the first one.
Yes.
You know, we had a flag expert on a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you know, Joe, only 37 states joined, had their flags put on, because the original 13 colonies, they were the creator of the flag. Those colonies started our country, and guess what? Little tiny Delaware, you know?
Little tiny that Delaware, the first
But
state,
they're not too tiny now with Danielle Hall there and Rodney Little there and Debbie Harrington, Colonel Debbie Harrington. Ralph, what are we calling her Debbie for? She's a colonel. Some of these Army generals that I know, they expect Joe Griffey to call them generals. So we got to call Debbie Colonel. Ronnie's probably looking for my basketball that him and Rita own. You know,
yeah.
Where's the basketball at now? Last time I heard it was at the VA. Now I hear it's at Temple.
There he is.
Yeah, they said Temple.
Well, I got a better chance of winning the NCAA championship with my niece running the pool than I do getting that basketball, Debbie. You know? But listen.
Did we lose him?
No, I'm here.
Oh, there he is. I thought
Ronnie
just has to rest a little bit. You know, all them stripes he got on his sleeves, you know, they make his arms tired. So he's got to put the phone down.
Because he got a lot of them on there, that's for sure.
Debbie, yeah. Debbie, aren't we lucky to have Rodney Little as a friend?
But I'm telling you, we are blessed to have him.
Thank you.
He is committed to our veterans for certain. He is absolutely committed.
And he's committed to his family. He's committed to his family. I've been around him and his family.
Yeah.
He's just. I'm really. Rodney, do you remember where we met?
Yeah, at the NBA down at Temple.
Temple, Debbie. That's where my basketball was. He told me that day.
Oh, okay.
Down.
Yeah.
You know, and you were sitting in front of me, and you turned around and said, "Who the hell are you?" And I said, "Who the hell are you?" And we became instant friends. And listen, Rodney, you let me know when they want to reschedule. How well do you know the mayor?
I know him pretty good. I don't know him well, but I'm pretty good with him.
And I'm sure, like Danielle said, we should have no trouble with the city council. And we'll just send the colonel in if anybody gets this.
There you go.
Trouble.
Well, she's a chair. You know, she's going to run this stuff. She knows what to do. Listen, she done ran a whole lot of organizations bigger than this. This is just small fry to her.
Debbie, you outrank Rodney, too, by the way, don't you?
No, I know that. But I know that, Joe. You know that, but he doesn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know he doesn't. And everybody
you know she's out me by far. You know?
Well, Rodney, once we have our first meeting and we get the it's pretty simple, because I think from all the people that we met that night at the dinner last November, everybody, the minute you put the word out, Rodney, what we wanted to do, everybody was excited right away. So once we get everybody down, I think it'll be a piece of cake. All we got to do is get the date, find out if we want to do it Veterans Day or the Sunday before, whenever. That's easy. That's easy to do. Mm-hmm. And get the route done. And Colonel Harrington pretty much told us that they have a set route. We're right in the middle. We're a few miles from Philadelphia, a few miles from Washington and Baltimore, getting vehicles and marchers and all that bit. And probably be able to get Joe Biden in to come to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be good. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
And it will be not political. But I brought up Joe Biden's name because he lives here. he probably doesn't live far from the parade route. We were going to have him in the parade route in Philadelphia, but his son died that year, and it was a little too much for him to handle. His son, Bo, who was a hero. People need to know Bo was a hero. Bo could have stayed home and taken his father's seat in the Senate when his father became vice president for President Obama. And he said, Dad, I'm going to serve with my men. I'm going over to Iraq. And I have no doubt he died at burn pit because he was scheduled to come on our show. And the staffer called me and said, we have to postpone indefinitely. When we started getting involved in the show in burn pit, then we realized and we heard about the cancers that he had and how rapidly he had it. It had to be burn pit. And he died defending our country.
Yeah.
You know, whether it doesn't take a bullet on a battlefield to kill a veteran. Sometimes Agent Orange or the burn pit.
That's right.
Or the Bill and Ralph, before we go off the air, we're all Vietnam veterans. How often the year you were in Vietnam did you sanitize your canteen? Well, you got that answer.
I didn't have one, Joe.
The word sanitize wasn't even used.
No.
We
didn't.
Was it Christian?
Yeah. Yeah, so we get back with a lot of diseases and a lot of things that, you know, soldiers in a battlefield, they put their hands and their guts in. If it's you're putting hands in the guts of a Hispanic guy, a black guy, a white guy, an Indian, an Asian, a Muslim, a Catholic, a Protestant, an atheist, they didn't look around for a pair of gloves. And we just did what we had to do. So when veterans get back from wars, they bring a lot of luggage, a lot of baggage with them. And that's the cost of freedom in our country. And no veteran, Rodney, we talk about this all the time, should be homeless, should be committing suicide. And I made a comment earlier about the last gift a veteran gives his family is the flag that's on his casket. And that's why that flag is so important. But they also give their families another gift. And that other gift is a lifetime membership to the Gold Star Family Organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we can never forget the person who gave them gifts to their family. We can't forget them and their families. Bill, you and I talk about it all the time, names on the wall. We can't allow these veterans to be forgotten about.
That's why we read their names every week.
And Ralph, you can't forget the guys that took a beating for our country. And that's pretty much it. Debbie, we're going to do this again. We're going to do what we did for the Flags of Liberty and the Sons Your Flag. From now until Veterans Day, we're going to have constant shows promoting this great event in Dover, Delaware.
Great. That's excellent. Thank you, Joe.
You know, don't forget to give my girlfriend a hug and tell her I said good luck.
I will. I sure will.
And
thank you for having us on here.
Wait a minute. Maybe Deb, you want to give Rodney a hug, too. He might need a hug. Listen, call me later, Rodney, and we'll get the schedule.
Okay, buddy.
We'll get the schedule. Love you guys. You're listening to
Love
the Walking Home Show.
And the sorrow that you know will melt away. And then a hero comes along with the strength to carry on. And you cast your fears aside, and you know you can't survive. So when you feel like hope is gone, inside your way.
Christmas.